हरि ओ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव हरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Page 28, Chapter 2, Vajnimi meets the nine Yogendras. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur writes, "It has just been said that one should worship the Lord with devotion. What is that bhakti? This verse answers, one should sing the names of the Lord which describe him in different languages, and hear about his births and activities through scripture and disciples of the succession, and which are sung by all people, even ungrammatically, singing and chanting, devoid of attachment to anything else, he should wander around." So he's attached to hearing and chanting about the glories of the Lord, not attached to that, you know, the grammar's right and this and that and all those kind of things. That's for scholars. That means then you shouldn't be wandering around. Right? You should stay in one place, take care of your, you know, family and do all those kind of things. If that person has gone beyond that, then they could do this. Right? Sri Kavi continued, "By chanting the holy name of the Supreme Lord, one comes to the stage of love of Godhead. Then the devotee is fixed in his vow as an eternal servant of the Lord, and he gradually becomes very much attached to a particular name and form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead." So here, he gradually becomes. It's just a matter of, if he's always absorbed in the Lord, then with time, because all of it is wonderful and nice, but there's various names or various forms or pastimes that become more attractive. Right? So it's not a sadhana. You understand? It's the consequence of just naturally always associating with the Lord. Does that make sense? Yes.
Mark, as you explained previously, we've given the name and the form, you know, at the time of Diksha. So it's not that we have like any option to get attachment to some other name and form. We got what we got. So is that the process that now we have to become attached to it?
I would say here is, how broad are you saying? You mean Krishna as opposed to Rama or like that?
Yeah.
But the thing is Krishna is all those. So it's just a matter of then with time, then what naturally works for you. Does that make sense? Means Lord Chaitanya has given an opportunity to take advantage of developing love for Krishna in his mood in Vrindavan with his devotees. Yeah. And one can be, or one can end up somewhere else. It's up to you, but since that's being given, all the tastes that would be in others are also there. They may not be as prominent, you know, like that, but it's all there, and it's nice balance. So the sweetness in that is at its maximum state. But if you prefer majesty over sweetness, or maryada over sweetness, or like this, then you can take up these other aspects, and you'll get there quicker than you would by following other processes. Like if you wanted to go to Vaikuntha, you could get there quicker by following our process than by the Vaikuntha processes. Mm-hmm. Especially the Madhva. I think the Madhva process takes like 14 lifetimes. Yeah. So, you know, it's fine. That's the point. Being the Yuga avatar, Lord Chaitanya, then he's giving what's never been given before, and if you take that, then it's there. And if you don't, then you take whatever you take. But understand that this is what's not been given. This is the topmost of what's available. Mm-hmm. Like that. Because you're talking about unlimited, so we're not It's not that. Well, isn't there something else? You know? Like that. So, yeah. As the heart melts with ecstatic love, he laughs very loudly, or cries, or shouts. Sometimes he sings and dances like a madman, for he is indifferent to public opinion. Footnote 8. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur assigns verse 40 to Bhagavad Akramichimala, chapter 16, entitled The Gradual Manifestation of Bhava, Bhavodaya Krama, which is in the Abhideya section of the book. So, naturally, by following the process, that brings one to the point of bhava. In this point of bhava, then naturally one becomes so absorbed in Krishna that it's exclusive, and you're not worried about anything else. Right? People are worried about their, you know, social position, and why? Because then that will be affect their economic position and all kinds of other things. How much their facility, how much they'll enjoy. But when you don't care for material enjoyment, you don't care for these things. Right? So that's the thing. Is you just, you're so absorbed in Krishna that nothing else actually matters to you. So that's a nice position, because if someone is really happy about something, that he's being a little, you know, outside, acting outside the norm. Right? He's not destructive or anything, but he's acting outside the norm. He doesn't care. But how long does happiness last? So then, therefore, he comes, you know, crashing back into the orbit of the normal social standards. You know, like that. Like that. But here, then this, you don't have to be involved at all. Now, you know, for preaching and that, then you'll control these things to be able to function in the society. But it's not that you have a necessity to function in the society. Mm-hmm. Right? That's the thing, is that for condition we have a necessity. But for the pure Vaishnava, like is being described here, their necessity is as serving Krishna, pleasing Krishna, always hearing and chanting about Krishna. So because of that, then they're not worried about this. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? You know, it's like in anything. Whatever area you're in, you don't care what the others think. All these, so many groups are there. You don't care what the other group thinks. Mm-hmm. So when you're in the group connected to Krishna, you're not worried about what the materialists think. But it doesn't mean you can't function in their world, since it's a lesser world. Yes.
And if somebody worries too much, that will be an indication for lack of faith.
If somebody
worries too much about
what
other things think about.
Yeah, you can't worry too much. It means you only worry how much is necessary for doing your service, right? You don't, because anything. You have to be involved in it how much is appropriate. Because if you go more, it's a disturbance. Like even on the material platform, if you're too sensitive, then it's a problem. Or if you're not sensitive enough, it's a problem. So just the right, so it's just the proper amount. So you're fully aware of Krishna, then you can be aware of his creation and what effect that has on other people. And in this way, you're being aware. It's only enough that how people will perceive you. Does that make sense? You know. So it's like you see is that, like let's say you see pictures of Srila Prabhupada. Then you don't really notice his clothes. You notice him. And if you want a specific look, you can notice the clothes. Right? But you generally see with materialists, you notice the clothes. Then you might notice them. Yes. You know, if the clothes are worthwhile. If the clothes are good enough, then it's worthwhile whether you notice this guy or not. Right? But Srila Prabhupada, so therefore, in most where it doesn't, you know, general occasions, then he just dresses, you know, enough. But you see, as if he wants that is something special or something like this, then he'll be very careful about how he dresses because he knows the people that you're going to be dealing with are going to notice these things. You know, if you're moving around with a bunch of hippies, what are they going to notice? You know, so you don't have to worry about it. And most of the common people, they don't notice things like this. They're you know, slobs anyway. Right? But when Prabhupada, then he can you know, be very, very exact. Does that make sense? Yeah. I've seen some other devotees. going around, you're doing things, you're running around, doing so many things like that, and they wear their clothes, and you know, like this, nice, that you're going to a specific program. You know, he's gone to other programs, and this, it's not, they're going to a specific program, then they'll ask, you know, they want their clothes ironed. Because they know those people will appreciate that. But all the other ones, they don't care, so why would you iron your clothes? Now, if you iron your clothes for everything, now it becomes an identity, it becomes a thing like that.
One occasion, Bhavananda Prabhu explains that him and Madhudvisha, they bought and used some specific clothes for Srila Prabhupada. Bhavananda picked it, and then he wanted the pearl buttons on the kurta.
Right.
And then on Madhudvisha, he was the temple president. He said, no, it's too expensive. But somehow they dressed him, and then like that, and then Prabhupada, when he put it on himself, he said, as you dress me, so I shall dance. And then there's one video, he's dancing in that, you know. And it's like, it's really beautiful.
Yeah, yeah. So and imagine what it would have been if they had put the pearl buttons.
They did.
Oh, they did put the pearl buttons.
Yeah, somehow he
convinced him.
Convinced him, yeah.
Okay.
He wasn't happy about it, but then somehow he gave him money.
Yeah.
So the clothes moves, and Prabhupada moves, and it's very interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. So they're transcendental. They're beyond. So this is the point. They're indifferent to public opinion. So they're not dressing nicely because of the public opinion. They're dressing nicely because it'll be useful in the preaching. So there's a difference there. Right? So much sense. Is that whatever they're considering in connection with others, it'll always be as what's the Krishna conscious aspect. Right? Not from a mundane platform, because the point is people act on the mundane platform because everybody else does. If you act beyond the mundane platform, but it doesn't go against what they're doing, people are comfortable with that. How do fashions change? Because someone does something different. Does that make sense? That's how it works. You know, it's like in the, they say the 50s they wore tight jeans, and then the hippies they wore baggy jeans and all that, then it comes out the middle jeans, and now they're skinny again. Right? Now they're starting to go out with the flare again. I even saw, I think last year, I saw once or twice I saw people wearing bell bottoms. You know, so it's starting to go that other way, you know? It's just somebody does something different. So they're saying, oh, you can't do anything different. It says that's how everything works, is somebody does something. So when you do something that's different but is transcendental to what they're doing, it catches their attention. Right? People are trying to understand. So that's the whole thing, is that these transcendental personalities, they don't do things because this is what people say must be done. They do it because of the basis and how it'll be useful and pleasing to Krishna. Does that make sense? They're nice to people not because that's the social norm. They're nice to people because all living entities are Krishna's living entities. So not only humans, they'll be nice to the animals, to the bugs, to anything. Mm-hmm. Right? Does that make sense? Well, these others will be a nice to the humans, and only those humans that they feel are worth being nice to.
Yes. Okay.
Yes.
Some devotees argue that this particular verse, it explains somebody who's behaving on the level of prema. But we're not on that level, so we can't actually do like that. We can't, you know, do what is explained in there.
Yes, but then
we have to fit into the norms, actually.
Who establishes the norms?
Well, I guess Rupa Goswami does.
Yeah. So then why are they wearing something that Rupa Goswami doesn't say to wear? You know what I'm saying? So the point is you choose your norms. These things, yes, we're not madmen in that we are indifferent to public opinion, in that we just don't care, but at the same time, we're unaware of the effect. It's that here, if they're absorbed in Krishna, they're not worried about it. But if they think it will cause a problem, then they won't show those symptoms. So it's a fine point. But then the thing is what we're saying, what I'm meaning here is, let's say you take that individual who they're indifferent to public opinion and they're not advanced.
Yeah.
But whether they're a devotee or not, and no matter what the situation, they're indifferent to the opinion.
Yeah.
Like that. So it's not a quality of devotion. Well, here, they're indifferent to public opinion, what we were giving examples of. But it's not that they're unaware of public opinion. So if that public opinion needs to be addressed, you can. But only because of the benefits it will give in Krishna consciousness. And if it won't give a Krishna consciousness, they don't worry about it. Like, did Prabhupada worry about bad, media articles and stuff? Never. His point was this, whether it's good or bad, they're wondering about Krishna. And so because of the fickleness of the nature of the, modern journalism and all that, what today is considered bad, tomorrow can be good. So they're talking about all these, the Hare Krishnas and this and that, but then with time, then they go the other way. So essentially, like I remember there was this one show in Australia. You know, one of these talk show guys, that always then they love to, harass everything and make comments about everything. So this guy had done a run of shows where they sent people out to go up to the book distributors and then, harass them, and somebody was there filming, and then they would try to show that this is what's going on. He'd show all these things. So then at that time, I think it was Chittahari Prabhu, he was the Sankirtan leader. And so then he contacted the place and said, "You're doing all this stuff about us, about Sankirtan. I'm the Sankirtan leader. Says, why don't you call me on your show and we'll talk?" And they thought, okay, great. Now we can really, really do something. But Chittahari is way more clever. And so he said all these things. He had to keep going back, like we were saying, these bogus philosophies. They have to go on these, take something that's not real, but then kind of keep presenting it and keep going. And so you could see that he didn't have anything to say, and he kept going back to his own stuff. So from his angle, you could say, we didn't win the argument. But Chittahari Prabhu said when he left the stage and he went off, all the technicians, they were clapping. They were saying, their point was, either nobody ever does, or it's very rare anybody can make him not know what to say. So he'd just repeat what he always says, but he didn't know what to say. And the funny part is, after that, he was nice to the devotees. Because he saw that they're intelligent, they actually have... Because Chittahari, he was so cool, he just explained it. He didn't get emotional, while the guy did get emotional and all that. And so then, who does that to you, right? So he, after that, he respected the devotees. So you can get... So it's, it can be, you're aware, but it's not that you have to work within their system. That's the thing. You have to be one of theirs to change it. No, if you're one of them, you can't change anything. To change, you have to be different. You have to be able to relate, but you have to be different. Like someone knows fashion, they understand fashion, but what they present is different. That's what changes it. It's not that you do exactly what everybody else does, and that's how you'll change. That doesn't make any sense at all. You change things by being different. So this thing we have to fit in and that doesn't change anything. In fact, you'll always be playing catch up because they'll keep changing, and then you'll have to adjust with them rather than the other way around. So, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. This verse describes the transcendental activities of the person beyond samskara, who has attained prema. He has been regulated in this way. He who has been regulated in this way particularly chants the names of Krishna who is dear to him. By chanting, he has developed prema. In great longing to see the Lord, his heart melts like molten gold. Oh, that thief, the son of Jashoda, has entered a house to steal the butter. He should be caught and driven away. When Krishna hears the voice of an old woman in the house, he begins to flee. Seeing Krishna in this sudden appearance, he laughs. Then the vision disappears. He laments and weeps. He wails, "Oh, I had attained a great treasure, and now it has escaped my hands. Oh Lord, where are you? Give me an answer." The Lord says, "Oh devotee, hearing your wailing, I have come." Again the Lord appears, and seeing him, the devotee sings, "Today I have been successful. In bliss, he dances madly. He does not care whether people laugh, praise, respect, or disrespect him. Right? So that's the purport of this. As his heart melts with ecstatic love, he laughs very loudly, or cries, or shouts. Sometimes he sings and dances like a madman, for he's indifferent to public opinion. So that's what's going on within there. So that's what motivates it. So, yes, we don't imitate this, but we have to know that this is the standard. If not, then we'll make other temporary standards that actually aren't real standards. And then without this as a standard, we'll get stuck at those so-called, you know, how you say, conventional standards. Right? Yes. Huh? No. So, one should know these things. And then that's the whole principle, is then knowing that. So you see now here, it'll be a lot of on how we've gone through the cantos, understood that that pure love for Krishna, then that's the real thing. So pure bhakti, right, not mixed and all that, is the standard. Then seeing the Lord's pastimes, we see all the wonderfulness that's there in those pastimes. So now we should be convinced that we want to serve Krishna. Right, so now in the 11th canto, we see that now it'll be giving details for someone who has understood all this, committed to this, and wants to practice. Mm-hmm. So now the more detailed analytical aspects of devotional service will be presented. But now it's not gyan. Now it's how to practically apply it in your life. Right, so it's not understanding, it's practice. So we can say, oh, but it's analytical. So this is how to practice it. Mm. So it goes like that. The Gita does the same thing.
Yes.
Right? It goes through. It gives the process, how to follow it and all that. Then it gives all the things about Krishna. And then having given all the things about Krishna, then that we're convinced of that, because it gives about bhakti and, you know, that in the 12th chapter. Then we go on the analytical aspects of how to apply that practically. Does that make sense? Yeah.
Like the mechanics.
Yeah. But this is practical mechanics, not trying to remove all doubts and understand mechanics, because that's before. That being given, then. Sri Kavi continued. A devotee should not see anything as being separate from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Ether, fire, air, water, earth, and the sun, and other luminaries, all living beings, the directions, trees, and other plants, the rivers and oceans. Whatever a devotee experiences, he should consider to be an expansion of Krishna. Right? So we see that that's there. Krishna also explained this to the gopis. And we see it constantly coming up, especially since the 9th canto, that this is being given. It's not seeing anything separate from Krishna. Then you have a different... If it's not different from Krishna, but it is Krishna in that form. Like, say, we take this pot. So if this is Krishna, means, in other words, the concept that you can have a pot, and that can hold water, and the quality of water, and why you'd even want it in a pot. Mm-hmm. Right? Because some people wouldn't want water in a pot. They'd rather have something else in the pot, like cognac or something, you know? but we have water in this pot. Right? So, then, you know, and then how it is, how it's made, all these things are all this practical point. Krishna is all these aspects. So then, how should we deal with this pot? Because if this pot is an expansion of Krishna and his potencies, how should we deal with it? So Krishna as a person, how would Krishna as a person want us to deal with him as a pot? Right? So we're going to be respectful. We're going to deal nicely. You're not going to have as many dents in it like we do. Why do we have these dents? Because we don't see the pot as coming from Krishna. Or we don't have a value in, like, you know, how you say, far out unique things or antiques. So therefore we don't care. And therefore, like it says here, you know, he's indifferent to everything. Yes, for he is indifferent to public opinion. So therefore we have all these dents and all that. Does that make sense? Because we just walk with it, we bump into things, we drop it, we don't notice because we don't care. Because we're not thinking it's Krishna. So like that, we do with everything. The blanket, the mat, the floor. So how would Krishna, in the form of the blanket, want to be dealt with? You just throw it around? No, you fold it up nicely, you keep it nicely. But because it's a blanket, it gets full of dust. So you take it out, you whack it, and do all those things. You can't say, oh, but it's Krishna, we can't beat Krishna. You know, you don't do that, because it's not, it's his energies that are the blanket. But the point is Krishna is conscious of how you deal with his energies as a blanket. So remembering the person, then, so that, in this way, they're pointing out is there's never a moment where you're not thinking about Krishna. Right? And you're always remembering the person. So whatever it is that you're contacting, you're always remembering the person. But you can still tell the difference between the person Krishna and the blanket as Krishna. Therefore, then there's the feeling of separation. Does that make sense? But in the beginning, that point of separation won't be there. You'll feel that closeness and all that. Because that aspect of that shanta, that neutrality, that's there. But then, as it says, then you start to develop a particular taste and all that, then it moves into whatever is that particular taste. But it still, it has value when you're on the transcendental platform. Does that make sense? Yeah.
On the level of Raghunuk Sadhana, it's very natural how all those connections mate. But then on the level of Vaidhi,
yes,
it takes a lot of energy and to be focused all the time. Like Srila Prabhupada wants us to be, you know, always conscious of Krishna.
Yes.
It's actually very tiring for the mind. And
but that experience of it being tiring for the mind, what kind of experience does it give? How does that compare to being tired, you know, from the mind, from having to figure out how you're going to pay all the bills and this and that and all those things? Because that's also tiring to the mind. But we see as in tiring to the mind that the devotional one actually gives a superior taste. So then gradually over time, then we start to prefer the one if the other one is not. In other words, we won't create the other one for intensity. Because even if there's no intensity, we'll create intensity. Or even if we don't create intensity, we'll put ourselves in a situation where someone else will. Yeah. So the point is technically one doesn't have to do that, but one willingly does. Right? And so this point of intensity and getting tired from that, that's the main thing. It means if you look at it, even though they fall asleep more in the class, the brahmacharis, right? Yeah. But actually, they're less tired than grihasthas. Grihasthas, as a general category, are the most tired people on the planet. Right?
Yeah.
Just because the intensity, you keep going to add more and more and more, it gets more. So, and brahmacharis, that's just because basically the synapses have nothing to do, so they fall asleep. You know, it's like when you have a machine, and then if you don't use it for a while, it turns off. Yeah, so that's brahmacharis.
Computer goes to sleep.
Computer goes to sleep and all that. So that's just what they're doing. So it's not that the CPU's doing anything. You know, it's just that they just, you know, nothing's happening, so they go to sleep. So that's the thing. That's what is seen. So if we keep hearing this, you start to compare. If we don't keep hearing this, you won't. You'll just go on in the natural intensity that's there, trying to find something. And if we find something that inspires us, and when we don't find, then we start to become pessimistic about it. And depending upon our position and consciousness, then, you know, every 1,000, or let's say about 2,000 hours of intensity, then there'll be that one moment of inspiration, and that will give us the, you know, that fight for the next 2,000 hours, you know, does that make sense? Yeah, so we'll keep doing that. But when we know that there's something beyond, then we'll start to question, why be involved in the material? Why not be involved in the spiritual? But if not, we don't have that, then why be involved in this material? Then we'll reject it, and then we become an impersonalist. So that's that. And when impersonalism doesn't work, we'll become a voidist. And then when voidism doesn't work, we'll become a gross sensualist. You know, when that doesn't work, we'll become a regulated sensualist. And then we'll become a gay. Like, do we just keep going around? That's called samsara. You know, we're looking at the little circles we're going, but within that, the little ones, then it's the big one that we're going through these stages of being a karmi, a jnani, or a voidist. Does that make sense? So, by always regularly hearing about these, we hear that there's something else. At some point, it'll stick.
Yes.
That's the Vedic system, is that you constantly hear about it, so at some point, it sticks. You notice it. You go, hey. You know, it's just like with the demigod worship. To worship the demigod, you first have to worship the Shaligram and offer the boga to the Shaligram and do all the worship there. Then you can worship the demigod and get what you want. And so after doing that for, you know, who knows, 1,000 lifetimes, then you start to go, hey, wait a minute. You know, what's going on? Why do we need the demigod? We'll just worship this guy. You know? Does that make sense? So that's the Vedic system. That's what's so, it's always progressive. That's why anybody who will accept it and follow it, even the smartest, they're better than people who don't accept it. You know, for whatever we say about smartest, they're human. And they're better than anybody who's not following. But of humans, then those who understand are not attached to this world, then they're better. And of those, then ones who are attached to Krishna, they're the best. So then it's just a matter of going through. So when we regularly hear these things, then we start to think about it. And then we're aware of it. Then there'll be those moments. We're in a kirtan and just how nice the kirtan is or, you know, something. And then it will have an effect. And those moments, because we're on the material platform, we're working on moments. Right? So it's the same thing. When we're working on the spiritual, there'll be those moments. But with time, because of always hearing about it and also hearing the other side, and then practically looking, at some point we start to notice the difference between the quality of moments. So that moment in the kirtan is actually better than that moment, you know, with the child, or, you know, how you say, you know, people, your group finally figured out you know what you're talking about, you know, so that moment, you know, so you'll start to see that actually the spiritual ones have more substance. Like that. So that makes sense? Because the other one, because the modes of nature, it always goes from happiness to distress to illusion. It's always going through that. Well, these transcendental moments, they don't have that kind of transformation. We may forget them, but they don't transform. So that's why again and again it's brought up, even though, yes, it's above, but you have to know where you're going. You know, it's like we're sitting here and we say the same thing. We want to travel somewhere. You have to know where you're going. Even though you're not there. You can say, well, we're not there, so, you know, how can you act like this? But say, okay, let's say we're going from here to a place that's very hot. Okay? How do you pack your bags? How do you know what you know, transport and all these different things to get on? How do you know what to take? You know, what money, what people, contacts, right? You know, it's like if we're going to some place that's hot or like a beach, then what activities do you arrange, right? It goes like that. You've already started doing that. But you're going to, let's say, you're going to some place that's a ski resort. It's going to be completely different. So in the same way, we know where we're going. So therefore, then what we're going to do and take with us and everything is going to be different than the materialist. So we know. So even though it doesn't apply now, yes, you're not going to be doing this, and you have to be a little bit aware. But that awareness is that you are aware, but you don't care. That's different than you're not aware and you don't care.
Yes.
Right? Because sometimes the example given is that the devotee dresses really badly and all that, but he doesn't know how to dress nicely. You know? It means if you put him in karmic clothes, he'd still look like a slob. Right? Then he'd be a slob. And then you put him as a devotee, now he's weird. You know? So, you know, you're trying to avoid that. But what's not understood is that that's not what we're talking about here. This indifference is not what we're talking about here. It means you could know, but you don't. Like Pirkit Maharaj, did he know how to dress? Did he know how to act and do all the, you know, royal things? And he can move anywhere in any social environment, and he knew what to do, right? But when he finds out, you know, he's got a week to live, then he takes off all these things and just goes out, you know, and sits down next to the bank of the Ganga. So that's indifference. Not that he can't do, there's just no interest in doing. So that's different than someone who doesn't know how to do and is indifferent. That's why the Goswamis, their position and then giving up everything has meaning. We have nothing and then we give it up. You know, it's like whoopee, you know. Does that make sense? But as soon as we get something now, you know. Yeah. Is that? Sri Kavi continued. Okay. A devotee should not see anything as being separate from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Ether, fire, air, water, earth, the sun and other luminaries, all living beings, the directions, trees and all plants, and other plants, the rivers and oceans. Whatever a devotee experiences, he should consider to be an expansion of Krishna. Thus, seeing everything that exists within creation is the body of the Supreme Lord, Hari. The devotee should offer his sincere respects to the entire expansion of the Lord's body. That's how he's respectful to everyone and everything. Because he sees it always in connection to Krishna. Right, so these are practical. This is a practical thing. You know, because that's the point is, okay, that high realization. But then you see Kavi then shows the practical point. That's what the 11th canto is about. Right? Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. The Puranas say, a devotee sees everyone and everything in relationship with Narayana. Everything is an expansion of Narayana's energy. Just as those who are greedy see everything as a source of money making, and those who are lusty see everything as women. So they're always going to see everything in that connection. This is illustrated in this verse. Whatever falls within one's vision, one should see it as the manifestation of the body of Shyamasundara in the state of prema. Or, the devotee, contemplating his state of perfection, even in the state of sadhana, sees in this way. Right? Just, his will be more formal. What we mean here is that they see the body of Shyamasundara in a state of prema, then it will remind them of Krishna and some aspect of Krishna. With his name, his form, his qualities, his pastimes. And so they'll be absorbed in that way. Now the sadhaka, he just knows by intelligence that it is through his energies and like that. But it makes you deal and think of the object differently. Right? Does that make sense? There's a difference. So it's important. But yes, the level of realization they have in doing that is different. Knowing the Lord's body is the basis of all elements as ether, he should offer respects. For him, there's no object of service except Krishna. So, is Krishna, and if you see some way that you, in your duties, can engage that in Krishna's service, then you will. Or, you don't see how it can be engaged, so you don't. Or, you can see how it's engaged, but it's not your service, and it's not an emergency. So it's an opportunity, but it's not necessarily being done. You don't do it. Right? Does that make sense? Sri Kavi concluded, devotion, direct experience of the Supreme Lord, and detachment from other things, these three occur simultaneously for one who has taken shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the same way that pleasure, nourishment and relief from hunger come simultaneously and increasingly with each bite for a person engaged in eating. Right? So, devotion, when you take shelter, it means you have that devotion, you take shelter, that devotion increases. By taking shelter, that direct experience there, the detachment, because if you're attached to Krishna, why would you be attached to anything else? So that's why we work on detachment, not because detachment is the important thing. We work on detachment because we're supposed to be attached to Krishna. Does that make sense? So if we're attached to Maya, how will we be attached to Krishna? That's the idea. But it's not that we're trying to be detached. Because sometimes that comes up and that, you know, people get bent out of shape that something's not detached enough. And so they'll think that that's a weakness in devotional service. But the point is, it's connection to Krishna. It's being engaged in Krishna's service. That's the important part. Okay, I told one story is that remember it was, I think it was Guru Kripa Maharaj Yashodananda Maharaj, the Namhatta boys. You know, they're holding the Namhatta. They came to the temple. It was basically Brahmachari temple. I think the temple president was a Grihastha. And so then he came there with all his boys and that. And when they came, then he'd bring out, wash the feet. They were brought this huge plate of Mahaprasad, all the sweets and everything like that. And he just, took a tulsi leaf and that's it and said, pointed to his men to, take it away. So the temple brahmacharis, they were so impressed. Wow, how renounced, like that. They couldn't believe it, like that. Because otherwise, if you got the plate, you'd eat the whole thing yourself, like that. So, and then, his boys took it upstairs, and so where they properly honored the prasad. They all sat down in the whole group, then they took prasad. But the point was, they did that just to, spin the temple brahmacharis head around. So some brahmachari sannyasi fun.
And maybe only one day.
No, yeah, only the first day, like that. After that, you just take it up to the room. The guy comes to the door, takes it, and the door closes. You don't know what happens. Yeah. So, yes. So you should offer respects. He deals properly with everyone and everything because it's connection with Krishna. Not because, this is the social custom or, I'm a nice person, so therefore whatever I do should be nice. And in this situation, this person's annoying me, so how can I maintain my niceness? And so it all becomes artificial. No, it's all connected to Krishna. That then is the basis for being nice. Yeah. Does that make sense? It's a different perspective. So morality, justice, ethics, this is all included in being Krishna conscious. So it's like, that's why it says all you have to do is be Krishna conscious. It's all included. We'll go, okay, that's being Krishna conscious. What about all these other mechanical points? No, if you see it all as Krishna, it's already included. But because of not understanding this philosophical point, then it ends up, okay, I have my practical service, chanting, going to the temple and programs. Then I have my practical life. So all the direct, okay, that's devotional service. All the indirect, I have to practice. But the indirect is still Krishna's energies. And so how to deal with that same consciousness. That's why we see great kings like Yudhishthira, Mars, and others can be fully Krishna conscious, though they're kings. They don't get distracted. This is why, because they're always absorbed in Krishna. Does this make sense?
So, Maharaj, for a person with that level of consciousness, there is no duality.
There's no duality. We see duality, because we see hot and cold, so we'll consider one good and the other not.
Yes.
Like I was just noticing, it's yesterday it got cold. I mean, today it got cold, because yesterday was Purnima, so the Pratipad is the change of the season. And so then you'll see some are wearing things that would match cold weather. And I noticed many others, they didn't change what they were wearing from before.
Yes.
So I was thinking, why would they do that? It's colder. Then it struck me as because before it was too hot. So you can't wear any less than what they're wearing. Yes. So therefore, as it cools down, now for them, that's normal. Now this is nice.
Yes.
But for people who before that was okay, now this is cold.
Yes.
Does that make sense? But as it gets colder, of course, everyone's going to make some adjustments. So we did have one boy once from Holland. Like that, or Denmark, I can't remember where, but it's so cold there that here, it was summertime, so he always just walked around in a t-shirt, like that. His dhoti and t-shirt, that's it, never chatter and anything like that.
Yeah.
So.
Happens to people when they just come here, when it's winter, they come from the real winter.
Yeah, so they're like that, so that's the way he was. So of course, after he went through the summer, the next winter, then he was bundled up, but, yeah.
Maharaj, to have no duality means it is a symptom of a spiritual consciousness.
Yes. Yes. But it doesn't mean you can't see variety.
Yes.
So we're not talking about the impersonalists that know duality, so everything's just illusion or everything's just one. It's that you don't, you only see that everything is sat, everything's connected. So therefore you deal with everything connected to Krishna, so that all your activities become sat. So let's say the devotee, he performs a particular, you know, taking his bath in the morning because of his connection to serving Krishna and going to the temple. So then that's called sat. But now let's say for the materialist, he's taking his bath because of other, you know, some social considerations. That's asat. So that's the difficulties. The indirect activities can be seen as different, you know, in different ways. So depending upon what you like or not, then it takes on that. But for the, but for that one who sees with this vision, then everything is sat. Everything's, you know, is truth. So that's the real truth. If we're seeing it in connection with the modern, how you say, intellectual or journalistic concepts, that's not truth. That's duality. It's not. It's asat. Maybe facts as people perceive it, but it's not the real facts, because the facts are as connected to Krishna. And the value is what is Krishna's value, and then we take on that mood. Not that, oh, it's Krishna, so therefore, because it's my value, then I push that it's Krishna. And where it's not my value, I don't push that it's Krishna. So, yeah, there has to be that balance. So we may see in practice, but it has to be developed so that we don't distract ourselves. Okay, footnote 9. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakura assigns verse 42 to Bhagavad Arkrami Chimala chapter 15 entitled Analysis of Favorable Conditions for Bhakti. Bhakti Anukulya Vichar, which is in the Abhideya section of the Thakura's book. So this whole point of seeing things and understanding that devotional service and the benefits come automatically, just like eating, you get the benefit. Right? That's then useful. My dear king, the devotee who worships the lotus feet of the infallible personality of Godhead with constant endeavor, thus achieves unflinching devotion. Unflinching devotion, detachment, and experienced knowledge of the personality of Godhead. In this way, the successful devotee of the Lord achieves supreme spiritual peace. Right? So here's constant endeavor. So we're practicing, the sadhana is there, but it's constant. Right? So as our bhakti is not constant, right, as anishta bhakti is distracted by, you know, karma and jnana, then we'll get less of these experiences. The devotion may be sometimes strong, sometimes weak. The detachment is sometimes there, sometimes not. And experience and knowledge of Krishna we may remember and be absorbed or not. Right? But as we continue, if we're constant about it, at least we're endeavoring to make it constant, whether we're able to make it effective as constant, that will be still constant devotional service. Then with time, it will externally be constant also. Right? Then the unflinching devotion, detachment, experience, knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead starts to become more and more prominent. Does that make sense? Till it matures as we see in the above verses. And then the supreme spiritual peace. Then that means is that you're always absorbed in Krishna. So there's no material. Material, you see, is from the material, those three aspects of the modes of nature. You get happiness, you get distress, and you get illusion. Right? So there can't be peace. Right? So you're always striving for happiness. That creates distress. Why that happiness? Because of illusion. So even you get the happiness, it can't remain. Because its basis is illusion. Right? And sense gratification will always give distress. So there's no peace. So when you transcend the modes, then that gives peace. Right? That's spiritual peace. But when you, that's in contact with Krishna, that's the supreme spiritual peace. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakura assigns verse 43 to Bhagavad Arkrami Chimala, chapter 12, entitled Devotional Service in Practice, Sadhana Bhakti, which is in the Abhideya section of the Thakura's book. So this endeavoring means that constant endeavor, that's what is going to see the other things there. So you're trying. constantly to endeavor with devotion, with detachment, to please Krishna. Right? To always hear chanting about Krishna and his glories. That will bring about this realization. In this regard, Srila Suta Goswami said to the sages, by rendering devotional service unto the personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, one immediately acquires causeless knowledge and detachment from this world. Srimad Bhagavatam 127. Right? Yeah. In this regard, Srila Prabhupada writes, bhakti, or devotional service, is characterized by vairagya and jnana. Jnana refers to understanding that one is not his body, and vairagya means disinterest in sense gratification. That's what it means. It's not having nothing. It means you're not interested in sense gratification. That's why if it's favorable for service that something is there, then you have, but it's not for sense gratification. If all you can do is think of sense gratification, then best you have less. Right? So that's why, you know, people would go to the forest and all that, just an opportunity to do that. But then once they have gotten that detachment, either as a brahmachari, then they can be involved in the world as a grihastha and not have such attachment. Right? Because they practice it by going separate, having less, and then they can start to see the difference. Or, so we see the grihastha, because something is there, then as a vanaprastha, then they see the, how it's less. Then they can move in the world and preach. Does that make sense? So it's disinterest in sense gratification. That's detachment. So what does that mean? The real vairagya is seeing it for Krishna's pleasure. Okay. Yeah. These primary principles of separation from material bondage can be realized on the strength of bhakti yoga. Srimad Bhagavatam 4.21.32 purport. Right, so Rupa Goswami also... No, I think it's... Yeah, he mentions it. But you hear about the details, I think, in Madhurya Kadambi. Yes, Vishnu Chakravarti. Then he mentions about when the creeper of devotion grows, then the first two little leaves come out. Mm-hmm. The bottom side of the underside of those leaves is this jnana and vairag. Mm-hmm. The top of the leaves is something more positive. I don't remember what those two are, but no.
Vaidhi and Raganuga, I see.
Huh? Vaidhi and Raganuga Bhakti. Something like that. But it's just the engagement in devotional service. And then from that naturally comes knowledge of that we're the soul, not the body, you know, and going towards I'm servant of Krishna, and detachment from sense gratification and seeing everything in relation to Krishna. So those are byproducts. As soon as Chitraketu understood the philosophy of Vairagya Vidya, the knowledge of renunciation, he could understand the process of bhakti yoga, right? Because that's what bhakti is. In this regard, Srila Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya has said, Vairagya Vidya Nija Bhakti Yoga, Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila 6.254, footnote 11. Let me take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, who has descended in the form of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to teach us real knowledge, his devotional service, and detachment from whatever does not foster Krishna consciousness. He has descended because he is an ocean of transcendental mercy. Let me surrender unto his lotus feet. Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila 6.254. Right, so now we're starting to get, before we you see it go back to Gita, then it starts going back to other Bhagavatam verses, now you see it's going forward into Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's still good Bhagavatam, but you see you'll start to see more Chaitanya Charitamrita verses. Then we go into Chaitanya Charitamrita, you'll see Bhagavatam verses. Yeah. So here, he has descended to teach us real knowledge, devotional service, and detachment from whatever does not foster Krishna consciousness, right? So, unflinching devotion, detachment, experienced knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Right? We see that the same thing. Right? Does that make sense? So it's the same point. That you develop devotion for Krishna, right? Fostering Krishna consciousness, like that. Detachment, then detachment from whatever does not foster Krishna consciousness, and knowledge, experienced knowledge of the personality of Godhead. Then, how you say? And teach us real knowledge. Does that make sense? So these are the same standard things. So what the Bhagavatam is giving the essence of the philosophy, Lord Chaitanya as the preeminent preacher of Bhagavatam, then he is giving that in his presentation. Right? And then we see our acharyas, then they're bringing that out.
There is no order, but about devotion, detachment, knowledge, in any order.
Each one nourishes the other.
Yes.
Right? Okay, it's just like let's say I have some nice food. Okay, I have. You want. Right? You want. So now what do you require? Right? Something to put it on. Like a plate or a bowl or your hands, right? Now let's say I give you a bowl. You want something to put in the bowl. Right? So now you have a bowl and you have something in the bowl. Now you want a spoon. So you can actually take, you know. So they go together. So here you have you can look at it also from another angle, from the Vedanta Sutra aspect. No one's going to cringe at this. Is what real knowledge, what does that counteract? We were just discussing it before.
False knowledge.
Yeah, false ignorance. Okay? What does detachment, then it gives up that mode of passion where there is distress, right? And devotional service, then that's the actual point of happiness. Real happiness, Shuddha Sattva, means happiness that has the mix of the modes of passion and ignorance, then that's what we call happiness. But when it's without that, then that's bliss. That's Ananda. So it's about Krishna. So you see is that that's the original state of the living entity. And they're controlled by this. And when they give this up, then they're controlled by the three modes of nature that give another. Right? Because if Satkaryavad, Krishna, the cause and effect. So we see that here in the transcendental. So it must be there in the reflection, in the effect. And in the effect, you can find a cause. So our illusion is because we're suffering in ignorance because we don't know knowledge about Krishna. Right? So that makes sense. We're having distress because we're attached to the mundane. If we're attached to Krishna, we don't get this distress. It only brings about happiness. Knowledge about Krishna gives happiness. Ignorance doesn't give happiness. Right? Unless we're taking the happiness of a donkey as the standard, something like that, then I say. So that's the position. There's the original form, and then there is the reflection. So we see the same points being made. Vedanta Sutra from the negative,
yes.
You want to remove that to come to the proper. Then you say, the same thing again, the Bhagavatam, through the process of is there or through sadhana, and then you see is that one who has come to the perfectional platform, then there also. So it always goes through, it's what takes one all the way through. Therefore, the sadhaka knows the process, knows all these things, and then they'll progress.
Yes. And the process and the goal is the same.
Yes, and the process and the goal are the same. Once you get there, then you get taste of it. It means we're doing it because it's sadhana. So it's sadhana. Once you get to the point of love of God, that same aspect of sadhana is also sadhya.
Yes.
Right? Because now we're doing it as the process to get us there. But once you're there, you follow the same process. It gives you taste.
Mm-hmm.
Like that. Mm-hmm. Vairagya Vidya and Bhakti Yoga are parallel lines. One is essential for understanding the other. It is also said, Bhakti Pare Shanu Bhavo Vikratir Anyatra Cha, Srimad Bhagavatam 11.2.42. Advancement in devotional service of Krishna consciousness is characterized by increasing renunciation of material enjoyment. So you love Krishna because you're not involved in the material world. As much as you're involved in the material world, then you're restricted that much from having that love for Krishna. So they go together, right? Because that renunciation is for Krishna. So there's no inharmonious element between them, right? But loving Krishna is the primary, and being detached from the material is the secondary. Like always remember Krishna is the primary, never forgetting is the secondary. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jaya. Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jaya Nitai Gaura Premanandi.